This is Global Perspectives with City National Bank, a weekly discussion of capital markets with a focus on events and trends from an international viewpoint. This podcast is for informational purposes only. It should not be taken as tax, accounting, regulatory, legal, or investment advice. Please consult with your own advisors on such matters. In addition, this podcast should not be construed as an offer or solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any products or services.
Hi, this is David Atkinson with City National Foreign Exchange, and this is Global Perspectives. Today, I have a couple of gentlemen with me from Canada. Stephen Armstrong is the co-founder and president of Maple Business Council, a cross-sector executive networking organization based in Orange County that promotes greater economic ties between Canada and the U.S. through bilateral trade, investment, and entrepreneurship with chapters in Southern California, British Columbia, and New York. A native of Toronto, Stephen is a senior marketing executive who has worked in Canada, the U.S., and Mexico across grocery retail, consumer packaged goods, restaurants, and technology sectors. In addition to his marketing consulting practice, the 360 Marketer, Stephen is the president of Maple Business Advisors, a cross-border advisory services practice. And I also have Rob Kelly. Rob is a native of Ontario and has called Southern California home since 1992. A senior technology executive, Robert has held leading roles in global consulting and corporate information technology organizations across several verticals, including real estate, financial services, automotive, telecommunications, healthcare, and life sciences. In 2015, Robert co-founded Maple Business Council with Stephen Armstrong to promote cross-border trade, investment, and entrepreneurship opportunities between Canada and Southern California bilaterally. Maple has established itself as a well-known and respected organization, serving its members as well as business interests in the Southern California and New York regions and Canada. Among its membership are Air Canada, Brookfield Properties, Pearlade International Trade, and the Toronto Stock Exchange. Members span Vancouver to Quebec and throughout Southern California and New York. Robert attended Western University in London, Canada, graduating with an honors degree in urban development. Welcome, gentlemen. Thanks for joining today.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, David.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about Maple Business Council, how and when the organization began, what your mission is about, how it operates, membership, the scope of the work there.
Thank you, David. We really appreciate being part of the program today. And in fact, it was really interesting that back in 2014, we received a call from the Canadian consulate in Los Angeles. And through that conversation, we're encouraged to launch a community, of business executives that would come together and really talk about cross-border, bilateral trade, investment, and entrepreneurship opportunities. We were really focused on the Southern California region as our plan. And when we launched in 2015, our focus was to be sector agnostic, growth stage agnostic. We're a membership-based organization of senior executives. So it's a real grassroots community. And we're really thrilled to have grown to three chapters. You know, from our base in Southern California, we've added Maple in New York and Maple British Columbia. And now we're proud to say that we have members in 23 different sectors who live and work in 22 markets across Canada, Southern California, New York, and even several states, including North Carolina, New Jersey, and Texas. And we're really proud to have City National Bank as a member.
And I think, you know, as we look at the type of work that we do, David, we really look at it as setting the table for meaningful conversations. And we do this in a variety of ways. You know, up until the pandemic, we were hosting quarterly events in Los Angeles, Orange County, and San Diego, bringing our members in front of an audience of executives to talk about their work and to share insights on the border. And since the pandemic, we've been holding regular virtual events, bringing people together from across all the markets that Rob mentioned to be able to connect with one another for networking and for content sharing. Historically, we've led delegations to Canada with commercial trips to Vancouver and Toronto to really discover the key sectors of these key markets. We regularly manage digital platforms for knowledge sharing too. So we encourage our members to contribute content through our monthly newsletter. And we also host a regular video series as well called Conversations, which enables us to share the voices of our members, and they can impart their knowledge about their mission and their markets. Strategic partnerships are also an important part of our work, and we've forged relationships with a number of economic development agencies and governments, including World Trade Center Los Angeles, the City of Long Beach, and of course the Consulate General of Canada here in LA and also in New York. And then complementing all of this too, we do a lot of news curation about what's going on in Canada and in our US focus markets too, so that everyone stays plugged into this really important relationship.
Yeah, that's great. No, and you know, obviously, from where I sit, it's going to be very important. City National Bank, as everyone who sees our logo knows, that we are an RBC subsidiary, a subsidiary of the Royal Bank of Canada. So it became really interesting and important, obviously, to us to know about what was happening in terms of these business relationships. So let's talk about some numbers. And I wanted our listeners to understand the importance of the economic ties, especially as it relates here in California. So why should we be thinking about Canada here?
Well, David, Canada and U.S. economic ties are really significant. Canada's the second largest trading partner with the U.S., and that number kind of flip-flops from one to two from time to time. And so it's a pretty significant relationship. And in fact, pre-pandemic, $2 billion in goods and services were traded between Canada and the U.S. every day, with over 400,000 people crossing the border on a daily basis. And three quarters of Canada's exports go to the U.S. So that really speaks to how important the U.S. market is to Canada. But Canada also buys more from the U.S. than the U.K., Japan, and Germany combined. So it's a really significant relationship, and it's more than just buying and selling. We're also building things together. So, you know, from the earlier NAFTA and now USMCA trade agreement, which just had its first anniversary on Canada Day, July 1st, you know, we continue to build things across the border, you know, especially in sectors like automotive. So, you know, while trade was impacted by the pandemic, by December 2020, trade was back up to 95% of pre-pandemic levels. And in the first quarter of 2021, U.S. exports to and imports from Canada exceeded levels in Q1 of 2020, with March exports to Canada reaching $28 billion, the highest level seen since October of 2014. So it's pretty significant. Now, that's at the U.S. And Canada level. But Stephen, maybe you could talk a little bit about California in specific.
Absolutely. Yeah, here in California, Canada is the second largest export market after Mexico. But actually, if you look at it on a per capita basis, Canada ranks number one. And Canada is also one of the top sources of goods for California, ranking third after China and Mexico. But once again, if you run the numbers on a per capita basis, Canada ranks first. So if we look at the period recently, from March to May this year, California exported over $4.5 billion to Canada, which is up 24.5% from last year. And of course, that was a strange and not a normal year, of course. But if we look at it compared to 2019, the number is up almost 6%. Statewide, if we think about the Canadian footprint here in terms of investment, Canada ranks as the sixth largest investing nation. And there are over 1,400 Canadian-owned businesses in the state. And these companies employ over 51,000 people. And that accounts for an annual wage impact of over $5.25 billion. But beyond the numbers, we have a strong relationship, you know, between California and Canada and U.S. and Canada as friends, partners, and allies. And we certainly enjoy the geographic proximity and the benefits of having a trusted and reliable supply chain relationship that's stable. And it's we're talking about secure markets as well as shared values as we look to jointly build back better. So I think in a time right now where there are many geopolitical challenges around the world, our relationship with Canada and Mexico really fortifies North America's competitiveness on a global stage.
Yeah, that sounds great. And just to, we'll go off script here a little bit, Stephen, but if I can. So we were talking right before we actually started recording about the fact that, I don't know why I didn't think about this before, but the supply chain issues that we're having with pretty much everyone else in the world, particularly like with the ports and issues like that, a lot of that can be certainly solved with some sort of, I guess, I don't know, a further relationship with Canada. But obviously we have the land border. So it should actually be better, certainly when it comes to the logistical issues that we're seeing, certainly in the ports and waterways and things of that sort, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I mean, we talk about rail and we talk about trucking, and the trade between California and Canada doesn't need to add additional pressure on what are very busy ports these days. And there's the ability to get goods to their markets and to source ingredients and components for manufacturing that can ensure that we can continue to meet our commitments here to our customers. So it's a very strong and healthy relationship. And it's one in which, you know, we can save time, we can save money, and we would just work well together. And it works so well historically that we often kind of lose focus of how important this relationship really is.
All right. So tell me, how many Canadian businesses are in Southern California, and how many U.S., let's say Southern California businesses are in Canada? And are there particular industries where one side or the other is more prevalent?
Well, specific to Southern California, pre-pandemic, SoCal exported close to $10 billion in goods to Canada and another $5 billion in services. So Canada is like a $15 billion customer to Southern California. And what's important too is that it's a diversified trading relationship. So it's not just one sector. But just to hit some of the high points, the top goods exported to Canada from SoCal include building materials, plumbing fixtures, non-ferrous metals, dental crowns and seals, fabrics, and pharmaceuticals. And then the top services exported to Canada from SoCal include insurance, royalty payments, financial, and travel services. And, you know, all of that really comes back to about 533,000 jobs in Southern California, depending on trade with Canada.
And if we look at it on the investment front, you know, I talked earlier about the fact that Canada is the sixth largest investing nation in the state. Well, here in Southern California, Canada ranks fourth per the latest FDI research from World Trade Center Los Angeles. And you look at the Canadian presence within the state, it's very much skewed here to Southern California, with about 71% of Canadian-owned firms employing Californians you know, doing their work here in this part of the state. On the investment side, there are about 900 Canadian-owned businesses in Southern California, and these companies employ over 36,000 people with an annual wage impact of $3.85 billion. But of course, that's dwarfed by the number that, you know, Rob just shared, because it's much more than the direct employment. It's all of the jobs that are related to the overall trade and investment relationship. These businesses are in manufacturing, professional business services, financial activities, wholesale trade, information sectors. So I think a really important point about this relationship is the fact that it's so well diversified, that our eggs aren't in just one sector basket, so to speak, which gives it, I think, a lot of resilience and long-term sustainability. If we look north of the border, there are some examples of companies here going up to Canada. And of course, you know, most U.S. businesses will open up subsidiaries in Canada. A few years ago, we saw that Sony Pictures Imageworks moved their office from Los Angeles to Vancouver. And, you know, our members at the Toronto Stock Exchange, you know, encourage growing companies to list on the TSX and the TSX Venture Exchange, which is a two-tiered public venture capital opportunity for U.S. companies. And a number of California companies have been among those who have listed up in Canada, which can be a stepping stone to then a future NASDAQ listing, for example.
Wow. Okay. You know, another, we can just throw this one out here too, is, so I have a friend who just got a job with a particular show. I forgot, it's like on ABC or something of that sort. Anyway, he was saying that the show is actually meant to take place in Montana, but they filmed in Canada, right across the border there. although it, you know, it became an issue for him because, as you can imagine, doing this, there was the 14-day quarantine. I think, didn't they just change that if you're vaccinated? I was reading something about that. Yeah, so anyway, so of course, it's one of these things where at the end of this particular series, it's like the protagonists like run off into the desert or something like that. And from what I hear, they're going to be filming in New Mexico next year. So yeah, I don't know. They're going to have to come up with an answer for that thing. All right. So besides Southern California, where are the hotspots of Canadian-U.S. business ties? And on the personal side, you know, I have only recently even learned this term Canadian snowbird. I mean, it became a big deal, obviously, when City National joined up with RBC. But what's that species like?
Yeah. No, we'll get to that, David. But, you know, California statewide is really important for us to look at as well. And, it's a significant economy being, nearly the same size as all of Canada from a population perspective, and actually makes up a pretty significant portion of the size of Canada's economy on its own. So, you know, there's a robust relationship there in terms of trade and investment. It's the second largest export market and the sixth largest investing nation now. That's pretty significant. And then the top imports from Canada, you know, being automobiles, plastics, animal meats, pasta, bread, cereals, wood products, furniture, crude petroleum, fish, optical, medical, and precision instruments. So California, kind of across the board, is pretty significant. But, you know, Stephen, maybe you want to talk about some of the other regions.
Absolutely. You know, we're really excited to have a chapter in New York, our first chapter outside of Southern California, and to have opened Maple, New York during the pandemic as well. And there is an equally strong trade and investment relationship between New York and Canada, particularly with the neighboring Canadian provinces of Ontario and Quebec. For New York, Canada is the number one market. And for Canada, New York is the fourth largest state merchandise export market for the country. And the majority of the trade is, as I mentioned, with Ontario and Quebec, which represent about 86% of Canada's exports overall to New York State. In fact, Canada sells more to New York than it sells to China, with total trade with the state over $22 billion a year. And within the state, there are about 500 companies that are Canadian-owned. So the Canadian footprint continues to grow. And we see, you know, a lot of interaction, you know, across the border. For example, at the Buffalo-New York Peace Bridge, it's the third busiest trading port between Canada and the United States and accounts for a little over 10% of all trade with Canada nationally. Then if we go up the coast just a little bit, you know, we have a BC chapter that's very active as well. And we recently had the opportunity to speak with Canada's Consul General in Seattle, Brandon Lee, who's based in Seattle, about this Cascadia region and just how much business there is going between BC and Washington State and Oregon. And there's been a tremendous economic activity around the tech sector, which continues to bring talent to Vancouver and ideas, you know, cross-pollinating across the border. So that's a very kind of fertile ground for Canada and the U.S. And then I'd be remiss not to mention a pretty significant investment that Canada and the United States are making over the border between Ontario and Michigan, which has always been a significant corridor for the automotive industry in the building of cars and trucks, which sees parts and vehicles crossing the border multiple times in their overall manufacturing. And so right now there's a very significant engineering project underway, the Gordie Howe Bridge between Windsor, Ontario and Detroit, which is a public-private partnership that's going to really lay the groundwork for more cross-border trade when it's completed.
Now, really quickly, so Gordie Howe, let's talk about him for a second. Canadian hockey player who I think spent most of his career with the Red Wings. Is that correct? Yeah, so that's perfect name for the bridge, right? The Canada-U.S. relationship there. All right, and finally, let's talk about snowbirds just because it's a fun topic. You know what? That sounds like a really fun topic to talk about. Tell me what's going on with those these days.
Well, surprise, it's not a species of bird. you know, at the end of the day, Canada is a great place to live, but there's no escaping the cold Canadian winters. And so Canadians just love to vacation during the winter into our southern states. So whether it's California, Nevada, Arizona, Texas, or Florida, many are even buying second homes. And so the U.S. Impact is pretty significant from an economic perspective. And it's estimated that over 1 million Canadians out of a population of 38 million spend part of their winters in the southern U.S. states. And, you know, in addition to tourist dollars, Canadians are buying real estate. In fact, we heard just recently that last year, Canadians spent about $1.5 billion in Arizona alone. So, you know, one of the economic costs to the U.S. of the pandemic has been the loss of this snowbird economic effect. They weren't coming down. They're still not really coming down. It's starting to open up. I think it'll, you know, slowly here, but it's a pretty significant impact.
Well, as we're going to have to wrap up soon on this, but let's talk just a few minutes about what's going to be the future now that we're coming out of the pandemic. The COVID situation, relatively speaking, for both sides here. What can we look forward to? What do you think is going to be happening over the next few months and years here?
Well, I think what we're seeing, David, is a recognition of the importance of building back better together and looking at a North American solution for economic recovery that leverages, you know, our trusted and our reliable supply chains to make our goods. You know, we're great customers to one another. We buy and sell to one another as well as make things together. And we also are very good at tapping, you know, centers of expertise and excellence and sources of innovation that can help us, you know, come up with new and exciting products and solutions for our markets. And we're seeing that play out very nicely right now between our governments as we look at the roadmap for renewed economic growth that not only looks at the economic challenges coming out of the COVID, but also, you know, our shared values around the environment and clean energy and ensuring that our recovery is a just and inclusive one so that we don't leave anybody or any sector behind, so that we can really grow together and ensure everyone comes along for that. And I think, you know, with respect to California, you know, take a look at our energy trade together, and it may not be well known that over $1 billion a year of renewable energy exports come from British Columbia that helps California meet our own emission reduction targets.
And then finally, tell us a little bit about what Maple Business Council is going to be doing in the next few months here. We were talking a little bit earlier, finally going to have some sort of in-person types of events again. Is that right?
I think, you know, near term, we're really looking forward to returning to in-person programming. And so currently we're planning our Southern California Fall Reception on September 9th in Orange County in Los Angeles. And then similarly, we're planning to offer a blend of programs that meet the needs of our local chapters and the overall Maple Network through, you know, in-person, online, and hybrid programs. Just sort of depends on what makes sense at the time and for the region and so forth. But I think there's going to be a role for each as we go forward. In terms of online versus in-person, there's some element to the online programming that allowed the broader network to come together where it might otherwise not have come together face-to-face. So we think there's going to be a nice role for each going forward.
Absolutely. And, you know, in addition to our programming, you know, since 2020, David, we've become much more self-aware and deliberate as an organization about the opportunities to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion internally and through our membership and network. And we think we're really in a unique position as a membership organization to have a window on, you know, great DEI work that our members and our partners undertake, and then really leverage our communication platforms to amplify their voices and their insights. And so we look forward to continuing to do that in our own DEI journey. You know, there's an evergreen opportunity for non-governmental organizations to promote bilateral economic ties that, you know, complements the work of our governments. And now that Canada and U.S. have committed to a roadmap for a renewed Canada-U.S. partnership, we feel that, you know, at Maple, we have a role to play in helping to connect and engage business leaders to learn from one another and really leverage this tremendous partnership and friendship that exists between our countries.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it very much. In the interest of time, we're going to have to leave it there. But thanks so much for coming on this week.
Thank you, David.
Thanks, David.
All right. That's going to be it for the podcast for this week. Have a great one, and we'll talk with you next week.